From the Opubco studios at Britain and Broadway, you're listening to a News OK podcast.
Hi, I'm Owen Canfield with the opinion page of the Oklahoman. Joined today, as I am every Friday, by Michael McNutt, our chief capital correspondent. Michael, thank you for being here as always.
You bet.
Let's talk about a couple things that went on at the Capitol this week. One we touched on a week ago was the lawsuit reform bill that was passed. Tell us a little bit about where that stands. I guess it's on a fast track to the governor's desk. Am I right?
Well, first it has to go to the Senate, and it should pass the Senate with relative ease. The Democrats would, again, argue against it, and but you know, the Senate, controlled by Republicans, will pass it and will go to the governor's desk. We expect that to, like you say, fast track. It'll probably be one of the first bills that the Senate will take up, probably mid-month.
In a nutshell, what would the bill try to do to change the current legal system in Oklahoma? I know that's hard to do in 50 words or less, but what are some of the top items that, that Republicans really want to see changed?
Well, Republicans, the main thing, I guess, that the governor has problems with is they want to cap non-economic damages, $300,000. They still say that if you have punitive damages, they did take out the original House bill, capped punitive damages at $2 million. But during the House debate this week, they introduced an amendment and took that out. So they're not capping punitive damages or medical expenses. But non-economic damages, they want to cap at $300,000. And the other thing the governor is concerned about is this opt-in, opt-out clause.
For right class action lawsuits.
Yeah, class action lawsuit. Right now, you're automatically in. You have to opt out. The Republicans want to reverse that and say that you, to be in a class action, you have to opt out.
You've got to opt in.
Opt in, right.
You've got to choose to be part of the class action as opposed to just being part of it automatically.
Because right now you get a letter, and they tell you all this in legal, you know, language, and then if you don't do anything, you're in. What the proposal is that if you get a letter saying there's a class action suit to be in, you have to respond with a note or an email or something.
Well, it's almost certainly going to wind up being vetoed, I would think, by the governor, unless some significant changes are made, and the Republicans I don't foresee that happening.
I think the House did introduce two shell bills this week that will deal with lawsuit reform. So they got two empty vehicles. So what it looks like the Republicans are hoping is that the governor will go negotiate. Maybe they can take some things out. Maybe still get a big package of lawsuit reform because that's
some
a real
sort of compromise measure that everybody could live
with. So they've got a couple of vehicles that if they do negotiate and this bill isn't it, but they're close on other issues, maybe they can grab what they agree on, put in another bill, and still get some type of significant lawsuit reform. So we'll see what happens. It's you know, the end of session last week of May, so that's probably when this is probably all cranked up.
Another item this week, there was a proposal that would remove the state sales tax on groceries.
Yes,
which would put a significant dent in the state budget. Of course, times are tight. We're in a budget hole here. Do you see much chance for that making it past the governor's desk? It certainly will get there.
It'll get there, and I think Senator Crutchfield, he used to be a chairman of the Appropriations Committee in the Senate. The Democrat basically called that a fairy tale. And it'll pass, it'll get to the governor. It's a five-year plan just to remove the state sales tax. The city and counties could keep their sales tax on groceries. But altogether, it's $300 million. It's a five-year plan, but in that fifth year, it's $300 million. And we're already $900 million whole. And even in good times, what do you do to make up that revenue? And nobody's got a solution. So, yeah, I think the governor's going to have to, unless there's some plan to make it revenue neutral, what they call revenue neutral, some other way to generate $300 million over the next 5 years.
You mentioned solutions. There seems to be a bill out there that makes some sense regarding driver's licenses. This bill would change the rule as it stands now that gives you no grace period for if your driver's license expires because of the lawsuit or the immigration reform measure passed a couple years ago. What happened was now when you go, if you go in a day late, you've got to go find your original birth certificate or any kind of different paperwork that makes it a tremendous burden on everyday Oklahomans.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And it's been, people have been up in arms ever since that law was passed a few years ago. This bill would change that, am I right?
Yes, this bill would give people a 30-day grace period. So, and you, but still, if you were pulled over and your driver's license expired, you could still be getting a ticket for driving. So that wouldn't eliminate that, but it will give you 30 days to, let's say, your birthday's the end of the month, and that's when you check your driver's license. Or something comes up and you can't get there within, you know, immediately by the end of the month. This will give you 30 days from the end of that, your birthday month, to get your driver's license renewed. Some discussion on the floor yesterday was, well, how come not 60 days? How come not 90 days? And that, the author, John Trebilcock, a Republican from Broken Arrow, originally thought 90 days, but some legislators like 30, and he thought that makes sense that, you know, with your vehicle tags, you're given a 30-day grace period, so that kind of is consistent.
Well, and if you don't set some kind of decent deadline, people are just, why not a year? Why not, just don't worry about it at all. So I think a 30-day is a good idea. It gives people, a lot of people, busy folks who, well-intended, to just let it slip. It allows them to get this taken care of without having to jump through the kind of hoops they have to now, which are really pretty onerous.
Yeah, it passed unanimously in the House, and it goes to the Senate, where we think it'll probably pass too.
Now, a bill that maybe create a little more concern regarding driver's licenses is a bill by Rex Duncan of Sand Springs that would ban the wearing of any headgear when you're having your driver's license photo taken. And this isn't a big deal because there's folks of different religious persuasions who must wear their headgear outdoors. And that's why it became an issue recently at the Department of
Public Services.
Public Services, or whatever it's called.
Yeah. Public Safety.
Public Safety, thank you. Talk about this bill and where you think it may end up. You think it'll end up getting passed?
Well, first of all, it's got to find a Senate author. It passed the House 88-8. Now it's in the Senate. The Senate author has taken his name. He's backed off.
Right.
Mainly because this was an amendment by Representative Duncan. The bill itself is kind of a clean-up language bill,
right? Sure.
But the DPS wanted, and couldn't begin to explain to you what it is. Just all inside baseball kind
sure.
of stuff. And but then the committee, during the committee, Representative Duncan was right after that woman in Norman.
Right.
After a couple of months, was denied permission to get a picture photo of the driver's license with her headgear on, her scarf, hijab. And DPS reminded it and said, okay, yeah, come on in.
They figured out a way to fix it.
Yeah, they said it's religious.
Sure.
Which is going, most states, I'm told, have exclusion for religious headgear, whether it's a nun in the Catholic Church or any faith that requires some type of turban or scarf or anything like that. So Representative Duncan, during his committee meeting, inserted language, an amendment into this bill. So it's only two sentences, this whole bill, which has really, you know, drawn a lot of attention. But he just thought, let's just give it all kinds of headgear, including glasses. So when you get your driver's license, take off your glasses, take off your baseball cap, your cowboy
hat.
You're
not the same person without your glasses, Mike.
And the reasoning Representative Duncan says is law enforcement officers use that driver's license photo as an identification purpose. So if you're looking for someone with brown hair or long hair, or blue eyes. He said, if you got a cap on or glasses on, that kind of shields that.
Here's my question. What if you grow a beard? You have a beard right now.
Yeah.
You take your photo with a beard, and next month you shave it. What do you do then?
Well, my driver's license has me without a beard.
Well,
right
that's
now.
My point, though. You can change your type of glasses you wear. Right. You can change your hair color. You can grow a beard, shave a beard. Seems to me to be overreaching. If the Department of Public Safety can fix it, they ought to just be allowed to fix it. And in my opinion, it should just be let them run their agency.
And that's what some people say. Look, when you see people who wear turbans in public, that's how you're usually going to recognize them.
Sure.
You know. So it's an issue that's in the Senate right now. They've got to find a Senate author before it's going to get to the Senate floor. Still could go to committee, I think, without an author. But it's going to need some sponsorship, and we'll see what happens.
Bears watching.
Oh, sure.
Well, as always, thank you, Mike. And please continue to read about these stories in the Oklahoman every day and check for them every day on News OK.